Cyclone Fanatic. The Cyclone Fanatic podcast starts now.
Welcome to the Cyclone Fanatic podcast. Your weekly audio tour inside, outside, and all around the Iowa State University athletic programs. The Cyclone Fanatic podcast is powered by Iowa's most recommended realtor, Mark Charter. No other realtor comes close to offering the level of service and amenities provided by Mark Charter. Buying or selling a home in your future? Check out markcharter.com. And now, on with the show. Please welcome your hosts, Chris Williams, Adam Gray, and Mark Charter.
What's up, everybody? Happy Thursday. Welcome to this week's podcast. So it'd be like a thawcast with Mark Charter Real Estate. Mark, thanks for coming in. We're going to do Baylor reaction right now. You've got a big closing today, so that's why we're not going to do the podcast. Is this correct? You're helping one of your glorious clients out there.
Big day today. Three closings, actually.
Three closings today? You're closing three houses in January?
I am, yeah.
You're doing some work, dude.
I didn't know if you got the memo, but I'm a big deal.
Apparently.
Did you get that memo?
I thought like nothing happens in January in the housing market.
It would have come after your TPS reports. Did you get that? No.
No.
Office Space reference? He's got like a blank look on his face.
I knew you were going with that.
It's like talking to a child.
If I told you I'd never seen that movie, what would you guys say?
I would say I expect you to say that. And it's sad, frankly, if it's true.
No, I've never seen it.
God. I have it at home, so I'm going to bring him the DVD.
Yeah.
Hey, Adam Gray, how are you?
Hey, good, buddy.
Welcome to the Thawcast. Up until Sunday, my wife had never seen Forrest Gump.
See, it bothers me when people haven't seen really classic movies. That not only were they classic when they were in the theaters and everybody talks about them, but they're on probably 20 times a week on TV, on various channels, movie stations, etc.
I don't watch movie stations.
But you, I don't know. Office Space, though?
If it's not Big 12 basketball or The Challenge right now, that's all I'm watching.
Do you just not care? Is that what it is? Because obviously,
care about what?
You've obviously heard probably no fewer than 100 people in the last 10 years do Office Space quotes around you.
I don't care.
That's it, man.
I don't care.
People have been making jokes, and you probably have not picked up on the fact that they're doing Office Space.
Probably not.
Like, I'm going to show her my O face. Have you heard someone say that?
Yeah.
But you know where that's from? Office Space.
It's not Dumb and Dumber.
No.
It's not old school.
It's from Office Space.
Hey, listen, I'm not judging it. I'm just saying I've never seen it, all right? Calm the F down,
Michael
Charter.
Bolton jokes. He doesn't get those.
Why should I change my name? He's the one that sucks.
It was a perfectly good name until that No Talent Ass Clown started winning Grammys. There you go. Office Space.
You got to watch that movie, bud.
I'm not like boycotting it. I've just never seen it.
Instead, you are watching Big 12 basketball.
And The Challenge.
What's The Challenge?
MTV.
MTV, they're still on.
The Challenge, yeah. Have you guys ever seen The Challenge?
No. I've seen The Challenge
probably
7 years ago.
Oh, it's epic.
They're still doing it.
Yeah. I don't even know what channel MTV is anymore. I can't tell you the last time I watched it. Ever since Hills went away in Laguna Beach, I've been done.
I think it's in the
Laguna Beach was good.
It's in
the threes.
It's in the threes on DirecTV, is it not?
Is it? I have no idea.
Do you have DirecTV?
331.
There you go. Okay. I was right.
Don't forget about The Bachelor. You watch The Bachelor as well.
I used to watch it big time.
Yeah.
I put up with it now because my wife likes it. It's kind of a deal where I just kind of put up with for her. But honestly, every week when we watch The Bachelor, I've got the big Monday game on my other TV, and that's what I'm doing.
I'm going to go on record, though.
I got a two TV set up in the basement now.
You do?
By the way, yeah.
Wow. Jealous.
This is new.
I'm going to bail Chris out, though, and say that this season, and I have watched The Bachelor and The Bachelorette from season to season based on if I think the people are interesting or not. But this year with an Iowan.
You got to watch it.
You know,
it's hilarious to watch this guy, and they portray him as a farmer. He's using farm equipment as like medicine balls, and he's like doing push-ups on haystacks.
It was real.
He's showering outside. Come on.
My understanding from people that know him or know of him is he's not in a combine. I mean, I'm not going to say he's not a farmer, because if you own farmland and you manage it, doesn't necessarily mean you need to be out on your hands and knees putting soybeans in one at a time. Yeah. You know, I don't think that's the idea of a farmer.
He's the CEO of that farm.
But the reality is, it's a big operation, from what I understand.
6,000 acres.
And one of these women will, it's not like he's just going to move and say, yeah, I mean, that's his life, is this farm, most likely. So I don't see whoever he picks, I don't see it lasting long term. If they're not from here, know it, understand
it. That's what's so stupid about the whole thing, is they've got like 30 women or whatever, and none of them are from the Midwest.
How many seasons of The Bachelor has there been now?
A lot.
Has anyone made it?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Quite a few, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
There's a few.
Hey, Gray, do us all a favor and pull the mic closer in front of your mouth. No, not closer to your cheek. Pull it around in front of your mouth. Because right now, I mean, it's to the people. I'm trying to keep your levels the same, and I can't.
Microphone.
Is that better?
Yeah.
All right, there we go. That's perfect.
Microphone 101.
There we go.
That's perfect.
Good job.
I know you guys.
Your levels are perfect.
I know you want to talk about Iowa State basketball, and everyone listening wants to hear about this too. But
we'll get there.
One last point on The Bachelor.
Okay.
I hate the fact, and this is this goes to speak about fame in our country. He's famous because he's on the show. That's why he's famous. He hasn't done anything to merit being famous, etc. He just happens to be on the show. He's a nice guy. I hate how 30 women who've never met him before in their lives are willing to put their lives on hold to go meet this guy. They don't know if he's a great guy, etc. All they know is what they've seen on TV. And within one night of maybe getting to speak to him for 5 minutes, the ones that get eliminated are crying about it. I never get chosen, etc. How do you possibly form a connection with somebody that you barely know that quickly?
They've talked for like 20 minutes.
It makes no sense, though.
No, that's why I never watch.
You got to realize, though, Mark, like 20 of the 30 women are there just because they want to be the next bachelor.
Next bachelorette.
It's all there because they're trying to get famous.
Yeah.
What about that journalist chick? The one who claims to be a virgin?
Oh, yeah. She kind of looks like Kim Kardashian.
Did you see her making out with him? That ain't no virgin.
Well,
all right.
I mean, you could be.
She ain't no virgin.
You could be a virgin and skilled in other areas.
Yeah.
You know?
This girl's not a virgin.
She didn't act like a virgin. She had a belly button ring and said he gets 3 wishes, but she had to rub the belly button ring.
This girl's not a virgin.
Yeah, I'm not buying it.
Fake breasts.
I'm not buying it.
She's not a virgin.
Maybe I should watch the show.
I should probably tweet a picture of her later on today. And I'll just say, in reference to the ThoughtCast, here's the girl
we're
talking about.
Was that Ashley?
I don't know. I don't know their names.
Did you watch the last episode, by the way?
Yeah, I did.
If you haven't, if you're listening to this and you do watch it, feel free to tweet at us your comments on Crazy Girl. Because there's a girl on there that...
Daddy likes her.
Seems psychotic, maybe bipolar.
She's a good girl to date in college, but you don't want to marry her.
Do you agree, though? You know what I'm talking about. The one that with the paintball and stuff. And
yeah.
She just,
but think about when
she's
you turn
mumbling
the,
gibberish.
Think about when you turn the lights out, though, Mark.
He's supposedly looking for a wife, and if it's your wife, you spend a lot of time with the lights on.
You don't marry that girl. You know. All right, we need to talk basketball. We've just lost 50% of our listenership. No, I'm just. They love us. They love the brand. They love the Mark Charter. You never know what's coming at you, brand.
Oh, by the way, keep listening because I have another word I don't like coming up. We won't do it yet. Let's save it for a little while.
Iowa State lost to Baylor last night. Listen, it was a disappointing loss. They, by all means, you shoot 57% from the free throw line. Baylor had like 2,000 offensive rebounds. It seemed like Iowa State was down 17-1 or 16-1 early. Climbs back, got down 12 in the second half, climbs back again. It's a missed opportunity, but my God, some of the reaction. Just slow your roll, everybody. That was a game where, to me, watching it, like I didn't even feel like Iowa State should have been in it that late, and they had a chance to win it in the last second. They'll be fine. It does suck, though, because if you win that game and somehow you beat Kansas on Saturday, you are not only in the driver's seat, you are the front runner to win the Big 12 with 2 road wins at West Virginia and Baylor. Didn't get it done, but I'm certainly not panicking in the slightest. That's a good Baylor team. How did you guys react?
Road basketball is tough,
yeah,
obviously. And this goes to prove, and I've on record about how much I hate rankings. Rankings are worthless because people say, oh, Iowa State should lose that game. A lot of people were saying that. They were the 11th ranked team going in to play the 22nd ranked team, and yet they should still lose the game, which they did. But watching that game, first of all, Rico, he's a bully under the basket. He fouls on about every play. But you got to corral him. We got to do a better job with him in Ames. You alluded to the free throws, and our percentages haven't been great the past few games. And this comment will sound lame, but I've watched all these games. Take heart, Iowa State fans, because we are missing a lot of free throws, but we're not missing badly. And that may sound funny,
yeah,
but a lot of in and outs, a lot of just short, just long.
Jameel McKay's the new Royce White, though.
Yeah.
Down low. I mean, if he gets fouled, it's as good as a free throw. It's as good as a turnover.
It's not a fluke
that they were the best free throw shooting team in the Big 12 before he started playing. Now they're ranked like 112th nationally. Yeah. That's a problem because he's going to go to the line a lot.
How do you correct it? Practice. You just got to shoot a lot of them. There's no other way to do it.
Well, I'm going to look up his actual free throw stats. He's a liability.
Yesterday. I don't think Iowa State – I think McKay one time missed both free throws, but every time we went to the line yesterday, we made one of two.
Yeah.
And, you know, I noticed something with George when he shoots free throws. When George shoots a free throw and he leans forward, he misses it every time. When he goes straight up, he makes it. Mm-hmm. I think those are very correctable things. I think Hoiberg's obviously a guru with shooting.
You want to annoy Fred Hoiberg, ask him about free throws. He gets pissed, seriously.
Does he?
Yeah, he really does.
The killer of momentum.
Because I think he's, you know, having done it before, it's one of those things where none of those guys
It's easy for him. It's like waking up, brushing teeth.
If I were to list where free throws ranked as far as hurting us in the loss yesterday, I'd probably rank it like fifth, though.
The whole point, though, is if you make two more, you win.
You get one offensive rebound.
Where it kills us,
that was my point to my open. Yeah. That's how close they were to playing like crap and still beating a top 25 team on the road. That's why I'm not freaking out here.
Sure.
Hoiberg teams always peak in February and March. This team is going to do the same.
It's where you miss your one-on-one opportunities. That's where it kills you. If you have two shots and you miss the first one, make the second one, great. You got something out of that possession, something out of that trip, not as much as you wanted. The one-on-ones, when you miss the front end, you don't even get the chance
to
the second
killers.
One. That hurts.
McKay is 12 of 28, 43%.
Ooh.
From free throw line.
Right he now. Started like 0 for 7, though. So, you know, lately he's about 55%. He's really stepped it up.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be positive.
That's good.
I'm trying.
It was
such an emotional game because, and I was telling Mark this before we went on the podcast, it seems like every time there's a delayed start because the game before went over and Iowa State starts, the TV comes on and Iowa State's already down 6-0, 8-2. It was the same thing for that South Carolina basketball game as well.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, the next thing you know, Iowa State's down 16-1, and you're thinking, "Here, this is a Morgantown from last year where we lost 102-77. We're going to get blown out of the gym here." They make a run, they get down to two, and then just like that, it's back to 12 at halftime. I think it went all the way up to 15 at one point in the second half. But the good thing about this team is it's so hard to win on the road, but they don't lower their heads. They don't give up. They just get pissed.
Mm-hmm.
When they're getting beat that bad, they get pissed and they come out and they keep fighting. And that would have, if they would have won that game last night, that would have been a steal. Because they didn't.
Absolutely.
I don't think they had any business being in that game, winning that game with how they defended and how they rebounded on the defensive end. So, as bad as it seems like it was, there's a lot of positives still in that game.
I completely agree with you.
We earned those banked threes, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Gray's on there last night saying, George should be on the bench.
He should have been.
And I had a buddy texting me the exact same thing.
He should have been.
If Fred was smart, George should sit the rest of this one out. Ugly game for George. He ended up okay as far as points go, et cetera. But it was ugly, especially the last shot.
Yeah, his offense actually, I mean, you're going to have days where your offense just isn't there. That didn't bother me. Him on defense and his lack of rebounding, boxing out, that's where I thought we should have put Nader in. I don't think Nader played more than 2-3 minutes in the second half. I thought he should have played 20-25 in that game just because he's a longer presence, a little bit more athletic.
Stepped up huge at West Virginia.
Yeah.
Played well there.
I would have taken George out for a good 10-minute chunk in the second half and played Nader, or even Adosie. Adosie hasn't played at all. It'd be nice to see him in there for rebounding and defensive purposes.
Abdul played 14 minutes total.
That's not enough for him
I'm interested, Chris, since you're the basketball guru here. What was the intention of the last play of that game? It looked like maybe George was going to drive and got cut off and panicked, frankly.
Yeah, I think, it's a no-brainer to let George take the shot, obviously. He was the only reason at that point that they were even in the situation. He had really turned it around. He was playing with... He did. He hit how many clutch shots? He hit like three in a row in the last 5 minutes.
The only reason Baylor
kept
scoring,
had some big ones, though.
Yeah, Naz hit, what, like four threes in a row there?
Well, okay, other than obviously Naz, but George hit some huge shots in the paint down the stretch. He was a completely different player in the last 5 minutes of the game than he was in the 25 prior, or the 35 prior. So you want George to take the shot, but the word panic, I think, was perfect because, I mean, if he takes one more dribble, the percentage of him making that shot goes up exponentially. Goes up, I mean, yeah. He was off balance.
The free throw line, roughly.
Yeah, I mean, it was like a running – it was like a layup from the free throw line with a dude's hand in your face. Yeah. The chances of you making that are – so I doubt that's how Fred drew it up, but I don't have a problem fundamentally with what happened.
If I told you in any game this season comes down to a final shot, not a layup, not something close down inside, but a shot. We have one player to take it, and your choices are George or Naz. Who are you picking to take that shot? Every day of the week.
Well, it depends on where it's at, and do you need a three? Do you need – I mean, because Naz is really – as you saw last night when he went 5-for-5 from three-point range – which I called on Friday, Monday's podcast, if you guys were
You said he was going
listening.
5-for-5?
I said that he's going to go off. Because point is, with good shooters like that, he had like 7-7-3 in his three previous games. He made like two threes or something. Against that zone, that's a Naz. I mean, that game's built for Naz Long to have a
he loved it.
Big game. Yeah, I mean, that Naz Long should do that against Baylor every time they play with the way that Baylor plays. But I mean, it just depends on what you need. You need a... Because Naz isn't exactly great at creating his own shot. So if you're looking to isolate a guy and you've got 10 seconds on the clock and you need 2 points, I don't think I would go with Naz Long. I would go with Bryce or John Jones, maybe.
I agree. I'd go with Bryce.
I didn't like it. Like, we had, 4.3, 4.6 seconds left?
And he acted like there were 2.5 seconds on the clock.
So when you have that much time, if you're a basketball fan and you grew up watching the tournament, right, the NCAA tournament, and you think we got about 4-something seconds left, we got a good point guard, what play do we run? I always think of UCLA, Tyus
Edney, yeah,
right,
Missouri
had roughly 4-something seconds, drives the length of the court. Why isn't that a good option? Monte Morris can get up the floor pretty quick. Just drive down. You saw it in the Iowa-Minnesota game, actually.
Attack,
it didn't count.
I would be curious to know.
Same type of play.
I would be curious to know, though, because right when that happened, I tweeted, well, that's not how Fred Hoiberg drew it up.
Yeah.
I would be curious to know what exactly was drawn up there. Because I doubt it was exactly how it went down.
Well, did you notice, too, when Monte got the ball first, he was not quick to push that ball up the court.
No,
he was very slow before he got the ball to Niang. And I think Niang probably had all of a sudden a little pressure, like, why aren't you moving the ball up the court? And all of a sudden, his internal clock probably went a little faster than the actual clock. So, I mean, I sat there, and, you know, it's easy to say he should have kicked it to Bryce or taken one more dribble, but I can't kill a guy in that situation. That's a tough spot.
When you've got Baylor's length in your face, the clock's against you, you know you need a bucket, you got 4.6 seconds at that point. I mean, just to glance up at the shot clock, and I mean, that's a second right there. It's a tough situation.
The thing to remember is it's so easy to sit here the next day and say, I would have done this. In that situation last night, probably a little pee would have dribbled down our leg, you know?
Oh,
so
absolutely.
It's like we try to compare ourselves to, like, what's going on out there.
You're saying that pee didn't dribble down your leg?
Well, no, because I was sitting in my living room watching the game. But
no,
if I was there at Baylor. However, all I was asking for, or all I wanted to see, or any fan I think would want to see, is make it or miss it a good shot.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah.
Just a good shot. And BDJ probably would have been the right call because he was wide open, waiting for the ball. George shot it instead of passing it.
And he was feeling
it.
Like, he was
he had a good game.
You know what I liked, though? Maybe this is like just vintage reading too much into it, but Bryce tweeted after the game, and I'm just paraphrasing it, but he tweeted something like, we'll learn from this. Brotherhood, you know, like all the hashtags. I haven't seen that from him lately.
Yeah.
I feel like he needed, even though they lost, that was a good confidence game for Bryce DeJohn Jones. Because for this team to be where I think everybody wants it to be and thinks it can be, they need him to be more than he has been as of late. That's one of those positives, Adam, that you can take from last night.
That is good to hear that he tweeted that. Because I'll be honest, when George shot that and they showed his reaction to Kay and Hogue's reaction on the bench, I'll be lying if I didn't say I wasn't a little bit worried about how that locker room would be going in, just because it seemed like they were so pissed at George for not kicking that ball out. But the good thing about George is, and we talk about this all the time, he's a fantastic leader, and he has no pride as far as I think he tweeted it out as well. That's my fault. I should have been able to trust my teammate and kick it out to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure he did that in the locker room. And this team, more than any team I can remember, and last year was very good too, they are a team, and they got each other's backs. You saw in the Iowa game when Bryce couldn't play, and they kind of rallied around him. Mm-hmm. I think this is another moment where they're pissed off, and they're going to use that to fuel, and they're gonna rally around it, and they're going to go and beat Kansas at Hilton on Saturday.
I think that we all have the same read. It's a disappointing loss because you just do, like you said, one more rebound or two more free throws or whatever. Or Niang plays with his head for a little bit in the first half. You win the game.
Yeah.
And they didn't play very well. So the thing that I guess didn't bother me, but I told Jason before the game, I said, they got to hit 10 threes. They hit 10 threes, I think they win. They hit 10 threes and didn't. But again, it's those little things. It's just life on the road in the Big 12, man. It'll jump up and bite you. And Baylor's a good team. That's a tournament team.
It's just disappointing.
What are you shaking your head for? You don't think Baylor's good?
No, I think Baylor's average at best.
Yeah,
average?
They're not as good, and no, that's where the disappointment lies. Team. Like it's great that, you know, it's only the third loss. It's not that big of a deal. As I'm messing with my mic, it's not that big of a deal in the scheme of things.
It's not.
If Iowa State won the rest of their games, it'd be a fantastic season with three losses. So it's not that big of a deal. And it's good that in all three losses, players have come out on social media and said, we need to do better, we'll learn from it, et cetera. Eventually, though, the lessons stop. When did the lessons stop? And they're like, we sucked. We shouldn't have lost that game, et cetera. You know, I don't want to continue this trend of, you know, we'll get better from this, et cetera. I want to win those games.
Yeah.
And this Kansas game.
It's January 15th.
The Kansas game, though, will be huge. It is a momentum shift one way or the other.
If one thing we've all should have learned by now in the transfer/Hoiberg era, these teams start peaking in February and March.
Yeah.
This happens every year.
And
these losses.
With
every
Hoiberg. And I was guilty of this last night, especially at 16-1. But you don't give up on Iowa State too early.
No.
Because a lot of times last year, they came back late. The North Carolina games, and there were plenty of them where we came back late.
Do you remember the Oklahoma State game on the road last year? I think it was triple overtime.
Yep.
That was a win that they desperately needed. That was a game where you get over the hump, and you did learn something from
not,
the ones
not
early.
Only that.
Finally, you get over the hump, and then from there on, you saw a new basketball team.
Speaking
that will
of
happen
Okie
with
State,
this. Team.
At Hilton last year, I think we were down like 18 or something,
and beat
them then. So
yeah. Marcus Smart had just come back from
last night was not unprecedented as far as Iowa State coming back from a large lead,
especially against Baylor. It takes them a while to figure out that zone. Once they do, I mean, it was a very similar game to what we saw in the Sprint Center last year. The only difference is Baylor was actually making shots at the Sprint Center. At the Sprint Center, they were not.
I think where fans are so emotional about the losses this year has kind of been set up. Maybe not by the program, but by fans as Big 12 champions or
bust.
To be
special.
Yeah. I mean, it's all about winning Big 12. And those are the kind of games that, as a fan, you think we got to have this in order to.
No, you don't, though.
I agree. I agree with you. You can lose a couple of those games as long as you don't let those games spiral down. Like last year, they lost.
Last night would have been a home game, then I would be on that point.
I agree.
They're 2-1. We all said 2 weeks ago, if you split in those games, you're in really good shape.
Yep.
And that doesn't change.
And that's true. I think what fans want, though, in a nutshell, and I'm a fan, so I can speak to this, and it gets tougher in pro sports for sure, but what fans want is for the players to care about the outcome as much as they do.
But
that's what fans want, because you have so many people on Cyclo Fanatic, et cetera, that are so passionate about Iowa State. Yep. They just are. I mean,
that's a good thing.
Eat, drink, you know, breathe, sleep Iowa State. That's what they do. And they die with each loss.
That's the one thing I've noticed doing what I do for a living. I've told this to you numerous times. Like, not necessarily even with Iowa State, but to a point sometimes. Fans, for the most part, fanatics care more. Now, do they care more than George Niang? Hell no. And if you think you do, you don't. Yeah. Like, that guy freaking every... In Hoiberg, like every loss, like it keeps those guys up at night, like those type of guys. But like I'll tell you this, like I care way more about how the Minnesota Vikings do than 50% of that locker room. I firmly believe that.
Because it's a job.
Yeah, because they're going home to their mansion, to their hot wife, to their Ferraris. I think it's different with college to a point, but there are some guys, and I don't know about the Iowa State basketball team, I'm not going to get into specifics, but like in this world, in this day and age where fanatics and, you know, everything exists, it's absolutely true. It's sad, but that's how it is.
What I'm wondering is, why do you care about this? Because you just described your life. mansion, Ferrari, hot life. The whole deal, yet you still have passion. That's impressive. You don't even know what to say over there.
My mansion in Bondurant. No, but it's true, though. Like, I have, I've noticed, like, I watched, like, some of the reaction and stuff that I get on Twitter on a game-by-game basis. And it's in the call-in shows and stuff. Like, I listen, I have Vikings tickets when I'm driving home from a Vikings game, and I listen to this call-in shows, and I'm like, do you really think that Matt Khalils is upset about how he played his Jay from Rochester? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so.
Well, that's not fair. You don't know. I mean, he's still working his butt off. I disagree with you when you say you care more than 50% of the Vikings.
No, locker. I truly believe that.
Okay. I'm going to disagree.
I have covered enough. So I covered spring training for the Royals and the Cardinals for 3 years.
Yeah.
And this is probably better because I've seen it firsthand. I mean, yeah. You've got people flying in from Maine.
To watch a game.
When Alex Gordon gets taken out in the third inning, he's going home to play PlayStation.
Yeah. Do you think
it happens?
Do you think
that's a preseason game though? That's spring training.
Yeah. Do you think Jake Cutler cares when he loses a Bears game? Come on now. Jay's going home to Kristen. He's going to be just fine.
His hot wife and his mansion.
There's a scene in the movie Fever Pitch. Great movie, by the way, and I'm sure you haven't seen that one either.
No, I've seen that. Yeah. That's Fallon. I'm a Fallon.
So he's a diehard fan, you know.
Fallon is to me like Art Briles.
Ooh.
Fallon's on that level for
man
me.
Man crush.
Yeah.
So there's a scene where
he's beyond man crush.
He's a diehard Red Sox fan, and he dies with every loss.
Yep.
And they lose a game, a tough game, but then they're out, and he sees some of the players out for dinner, just having dinner and being normal human beings, and they're not all torn up about it. And I think it occurs to him at that point, it isn't life and death.
It's their job. That's their job.
But in college, it's not. And that's why there's a difference. Because in college, there is passion,
absolutely.
I believe, still at that level.
And I truly believe that, especially with this basketball team, that these guys are living and dying by. I know Hoiberg's that way, man. When he loses a game, it's not a job to that guy. It is up all night, obsessing over it. I know Niang and Naz are like that. And those are just the guys I know the most. I'm sure others. I know Matt Thomas had a hell of a time last year.
Yeah.
We've talked a lot about him and how sensitive he can be to I want to clarify the comments I made were not pointing towards Iowa State, but I see it all the time.
What is your take on Matt Thomas, by the way? Because of all the players we have on the program, he's the biggest enigma to me.
He'll be fine. He is what he is at this point.
What is he?
He's
a sophomore.
He's a sophomore who can give you a game like he gave you against Oklahoma State and hit some shots.
Yep.
You want to rely on him to win a Big 12 championship? Hell no. Not at this point. He hasn't proven he can do that.
Yeah.
I think potentially he can, but potential only gets you so far. He'll have a couple games where he hits 3-4 threes and you don't win without him, but I don't think you can rely on him.
He's one of those guys, you judge how his game's going to be after his first two shots. If he's making those shots, you stick him in because you see his confidence. Even on defense, he picks up his how quick he's moving out there. And you saw against Okie State, we're actually drawing up plays to try to get him the ball. Mm-hmm. Last night, he misses three threes. He didn't play in the second half until the last throw with 4 seconds left. He didn't play at all in the second half.
Yeah, so why did they put him in then? They didn't need a three. What was the reason for that? Do you have any idea why he was in?
I don't think because they probably didn't think McKay would take a shot at all, so you're just putting one extra shooter on the court.
It just seemed odd.
It did seem odd.
At the end of the game?
Yeah, he was in
the last possession.
You want as many offensive options as you can, and McKay's not really an offensive option.
It just seemed odd since he hadn't played that suddenly he's in there,
yeah.
Fred knows better than me.
I really think he's that kind of guy.
No, I think it makes a lot of sense to put Thomas in.
Cold,
though? I mean, if you need a three, yeah, for sure. You don't need a three.
I think if you're in desperation mode and you got to kick it out to somebody, you'd rather Matt Thomas than McKay have the ball.
But McKay could have got a tip in there if you put him underneath.
He could have gotten fouled too and missed two free throws.
He could have.
That would have been.
I would have loved it. If he would have got fouled though and all he needed was one free throw to send an overtime.
Have you ever actually seen a game?
Percentages say he's a 43% free throw shooter.
I don't think I've ever seen a game in my life where someone gets fouled with under maybe 0.5 seconds left, and they can win it at the free throw line, and then they miss. And it, like, that's something that happens in the movies a lot. The guy clanks a couple, and then the game just ends because the clocks run out.
Or that happens in Hilton.
You don't see that
to the opposition.
It actually happened last night in the North Carolina State, North Carolina game. They threw it down. The guy got fouled 0.7 seconds to go. He needed to make both to sit, and he missed both.
Yeah, that's a little different when it's time, but like, you have a chance to win it. You're down one. You get two shots. You miss them both.
Both,
like,
yeah, it'd be tough.
You definitely don't see that.
I guess I have two questions here. One, why is Daniel Dozy not playing in those kind of games?
Well, I think it's harder to put a Dozy in a game when you're down 15. I think if...
But the reason you're down 15 is because you're not playing defense and you're not getting rebounds. It's not because your offense. I mean, the offense last night was not the issue. It was getting stops and getting rebounds. And he...
This doesn't surprise me just because when McKay came, I think we all knew Dozy's time was limited.
Okay. So now my second question.
Like, Fred doesn't like those 9-10 man rotations. I mean, he just doesn't. I think he'll maybe they reassess it after last night too. I don't know. Maybe
I think Adozie's got a place on the team against teams like Baylor and West Virginia that crashed that offensive board hard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He just, you know, Fred's whole deal is spacing and the way they like to play, right? The hoi ball thing. And you almost, in order for that to flow, you need 5 scoring options. And Adozie really isn't one. I'm just answering your question. That's how I would answer that. I don't know. And again, maybe they reassess it after last night. But that's been the philosophy before. That's why it was such a big deal last year when they lost Niang.
Yeah.
My official answer is Fred's a hater.
He hates Adozie, doesn't he?
There it is.
Just hates him.
There it is. You don't need to overthink these things.
All right. Second question. Question number 2.
Okay.
This is probably more absurd for a lot of people to even ask this question.
Okay.
I could answer it before you even ask it.
Scott Drew calls timeout. Baylor's got the ball. And this happened in the West Virginia Okie State game.
How much time left?
Let's just say there's a minute left. Right. So Iowa State needs to get a stop.
Yeah.
It's going to say, why are you not taking George Niang out of the game and putting
Nader in? Why are you just hating on George Niang?
Chris, his defense is the only reason we lost that game.
The only reason.
Hey, I'm telling you right now, they put Nader in there.
They win.
Yes.
Why it's not true what Gray's saying right now?
Only reason Iowa State lost
reason.
He's saying the only reason they lost was because of Georgie's defense.
Rebounding.
Here's the proof that that's not true. During the game, they did another fat story on George, and they showed that the lighter George moves better, is quicker, is more on balance than he used to be.
He gets pushed around
so
easier.
So you can take your theory and shove it. That's what I'm going to say.
Obviously being a little overdramatic when I say that.
No.
Without doubt.
Did George hit on your wife?
No.
Do you hate George Niang?
I love George Niang.
Well, you don't. Look at your Twitter feed from last
player.
Night.
I said one thing.
You just said that he's the worst player.
You just said he's the only reason Iowa State lost last night.
His defense was the reason.
The reason.
Rico Gathers. We're talking about Rico Gathers here. Absolutely abused him.
Well, he's a big dude.
He abuses every man he plays this year.
No, he doesn't. He does not. They should have put Nader or Adozie in that situation, and those guys could have got those rebounds.
I'm taking Gray over Hoiberg. All right.
Okay.
I agree with Adam. I'm gonna
Uncle Rico.
I'm just saying.
Uncle Rico down at Baylor though, he's the biggest dude in the Big 12.
He's a monster.
Tweeted this. His arm is the size of like both of McKay's thighs put together.
McKay is a little skinny.
Let me just say,
looks like a really tall, like, you know, like a awkward like 7th grade girl like who's hit a growth spurt and she's really tall. That's like McKay. He's just so skinny.
He is skinny.
Put about 20 pounds on, dude. You're a beast.
Yeah.
And he's pretty damn good right now.
He could have an NBA.
He might be their best player right
now. Size. Although you don't have to be thick to be an NBA player. I was thinking Kevin Durant at
But
Texas.
It sure helps.
That dude was skinny.
All right.
He had 4 blocks again last night.
And he should have had 5, that ridiculous goaltend. That doesn't happen. Iowa State wins. There you go.
There you go.
I'll take some pressure off of George.
I need to say this before people kill me. If you ask me who Iowa State's best player is, I would still say George Niang.
But he's the reason they lost. Fred needed to bench him.
Last night, yes.
What's your email so people can send you hate mail?
Hey, guys, my email? No, I'm not doing this. George Niang's numbers against Baylor, you can go look them up. Baylor's not a good matchup for George Niang.
No, he doesn't like length.
No.
That's why he didn't Maryland. South Carolina.
He shoots 30% in his career, the last 4 games against Baylor. 30%.
By the way,
it's because Scott Drew's a genius.
I need to go on record one more time because I've already talked about things that that I hate. This will lead us into our word, probably.
Yeah, we need to get moving.
So we talk all the time about, okay, so here's the thing in sports I hate. I hate rankings. We've talked about that. Here's another one that I hate. Anytime anybody, you do this all the time, by the way, anytime
Thanks.
People refer back to something that happened in the game or didn't happen in the game and said, if that would have happened or this would have happened, then the outcome would have been different. If he had hit that free throw in the first half, look at the score, we would have won the game. No. Because if that happens, everything after that, it's the butterfly effect, is different.
Yeah.
You miss the field goal in the first half and you lose by a field goal, doesn't mean that that field goal changed the course of the game.
That goaltend was the game.
If a play happens on the last play of the game and it's called goaltending.
So like the push-off that wasn't called?
Whatever. You get my point, though. Things that happen.
I'm saying the push-off that wasn't called led to the game-winning shot.
But push-offs aren't called all the time.
I actually agree with the no call.
I agree with no call.
What about the
just playing devil's
advocate? What about Rico taking that charge, that massive flop he took? I mean, that's stuff like that.
That's the game, Mark.
Peppered throughout the game. So,
what's the word of the week?
So keep in mind, this is a list of words that I do not like. And last week we went with moist. Had a little fun with moist.
Again, like I don't like. Why wouldn't dry be the word?
Because
I would rather be moist than dry.
Go out and poll people and say, which word do you hate more, dry or moist?
Nobody hates dry.
Yeah, dry is not hateable, et cetera. So this word has a couple of different meanings, but you can figure out which meaning I mean because I hate it. And I hear this word every once in a while. Whenever you have – well, I'm not going to go there because that'll be gross and people will start puking. But the word of the week this week – is discharge.
I knew this was coming.
What is it with you? I mean, these words, they all...
They're words that I hate.
But they're all directed towards one female body part.
Your mind just went there. Moist can be a sponge. Like, the debt was discharged. Your mind could go anywhere. I don't like it. Discharge. That's the word of the week. And you're just like, you're stunned.
No, like, I'm trying
Do you like the word? Do you think it's a good word?
I'm okay with it.
So you're okay with moist and with discharge so far.
You know what?
Give me a word you don't like. I want to know what you don't like. He's like, I like every word. They're all
good. I'm an equal opportunity wordsmith.
Hawkeye? Do you like that word?
No.
There you go.
No. Funny thing about that is this guy was trolling at me last night.
Yeah.
Over something. I don't even know what it was. And, man, what was he coming at me for? I don't even remember. I made like some like sarcastic comment. I said like Baylor's closing their eyes and hitting half court shots and just swishing. When they were on that run.
Yeah.
And this dude comes at me. He took me seriously. Like he thought I was making like he didn't gather that I was being sarcastic.
Yeah.
And I told him I bet my life savings right now that you're a Hawk fan.
Yeah.
And he was.
Of course.
Yeah. They're just so predictable. No, I don't even hate the Hawks. I just hate the
Hawk trolls.
Yeah, I don't like the fringe, the blogosphere, if that makes any sense.
You don't like the UNI/Iowa fans.
Yeah, I've made that very clear over the years.
Yeah.
The Purple Hawks.
Yep.
People often ask me when it comes to real estate, like, do I have a plan? Like, when I do a marketing thing or whatever, like, do I have a plan? And my response is, there's always a plan in place. I don't just arbitrarily do things to do things. Linking this to the words and why I'm choosing these words.
Discharge.
Somewhere out there, there's somebody listening to this, and they're hoping to win some Final Four tickets. And they are, in fact, writing these down either on a sheet of paper or on a computer somewhere.
The guy said Evernote.
Yeah.
That one guy tweeted that.
And somewhere during the course of this season, a wife will stumble upon a notebook and they'll see the word moist and then they'll see the word discharge and they're going to say, what are you doing?
And they're going to associate it with Mark Charter Real Estate.
Say, hey.
Hey, honey, I got a perfect realtor for us when we move.
Yeah. Oh, the guy that likes the word moist. No, he hates that word, actually. So here's my promise to you. Next week, I will do another word that I do not like, but it will not be related
to the female anatomy.
Just to make you happy, make you sweat less.
Hey, let's look ahead quickly. I don't want to dissect these too much, but a big weekend in Big 12 basketball coming up on Saturday. Not only Iowa State and Kansas, we're the College Game Day crew. Hey, stay tuned to Fanatic on Friday night as we're going to get an opportunity to talk with the Game Day guys.
Nice.
On late Friday. This Game Day deal is awesome. for Iowa State. It's awesome for everybody.
Who will
but it's
be
a
here
hell of a lot
that?
Of work.
Who are the guys?
Jay Billis, Seth Greenberg, Reese Davis.
Where are you doing it at?
Ames, up in Hilton.
Oh, at Hilton?
Yeah. No. Like
I thought it might be Hickory Park over some cheese balls.
No. Like, no. Well, that'd be epic.
Yeah.
Have some cheese balls with Jay Billis.
That'd be nice.
I tweeted at Jay and invited him to my house for real barbecue, but he didn't respond.
You should tell those guys to go check out Ames High, the home of Harrison Barnes, Doug McDermott, Fred Hoiberg. They should go see where they played.
You forgot Boo Boo Paolo.
Boo Boo?
Yeah.
Austin Arnott.
It's a 5-minute trip from Hilton.
And Mark Charter.
One of the greatest
freshman at sophomore basketball.
One of the top 40 football players of all time.
Yeah, while you're up there showing him the basketball court, take him out to the football field. Show him that.
Rob and Jared and I are all going to be up there for that. And then Saturday morning, I'm going to be there at like 7 o'clock, and we're going to have like blanket coverage all day on Saturday because it's a big deal. Like, though, you can overdo it, I guess, but can you, though? Because it's Iowa State and it's college game. I don't know if this will – I hope it happens again, but you don't know. And it's a pretty special honor to get that. So we're gonna kill it.
Explain to me, because I honestly do not know, and I'm assuming someone else listening does not know. When they say game day all day, what exactly will be happening?
Well, there's the show. The show, you know, until that gets over. And then it kind of chills out. But then they go back live at 7 o'clock at Hilton. So they're live from there. So, I mean – what's going to be going on, though? It's just a huge party.
Yeah.
Because that place will be insane.
When will Hilton open?
7.
It opens at 7.
Yeah, and it's like a free-for-all.
And the show's at 9?
Yes.
Do you think it's going to be sold out there at 9 in the morning? You think it'll be full?
I find it hard to believe.
That's what I find, yeah. I mean, I'm guessing probably 10,000 fans.
I bet 10,000 people are there.
Wow.
Sold out, it seems insane to me.
Because it's just so early in the morning.
A lot of people, the thing is, it's a damn long day because it's an 8 o'clock game.
Yeah.
A lot of people are going to the game, like my parents, for instance. They drive 3 hours to go to the game. Like, are they going to drive? Well, knowing my dad, he might. But, like, that's a hell of a long day.
Yeah, it is.
So what do they do? Like, the show starts, they do the show, but then everyone bails. They'll leave Hilton, and then
that's what I'm doing. I'm gonna go there, work, get some stuff done. Hopefully, be done by noon. Have a ton of content. Go home, take a long nap. Come back up at like 5. That's kind of what my plan for the day is.
They're making all the cars leave the parking lot, correct?
I don't know.
They would have to for people that
you've got to have your pass for the game.
Are you gonna be on College Game Day? No. Have they reached out to you for that?
No. Why would I be on?
I mean, because you are the publisher of the number one Cyclone website in the country. I mean,
I'm a hack blogger.
Yeah.
They'll have Randy Peterson on, not me.
Well, he is a lot smarter than you.
If they want me to come on and give him some words, I'm happy. happy to do it.
All right, Big 12. So, 3 battles of ranked teams. Great day of basketball. It kind of makes me mad that Iowa State has a home game. I wish they were away this week. But Oklahoma State is at Oklahoma, who can't throw a beach ball into the ocean right now. As Mark would like to put it, a toothpick into a volcano. Everything you have to say has to do with the female anatomy.
Hot dog in a hallway.
West Virginia is at Texas, who they also can't throw a toothpick into a volcano right now. Baylor, who we just saw, is at Kansas State, who is all of a sudden 3-1. Told you so. Marcus, if Foster is playing anywhere near his level, they're very hard to beat. And they're at home.
Chris, who did they just beat last night?
I don't even know.
Texas Tech. Let's slow your roll.
Hey, they're 3-1.
Jesus, criminy.
Well, so now we're going to use the Lord's name in vain on the Mark Charter podcast.
I apologize.
It's actually Jesus Christ. It's not Jesus criminy.
Jeez.
He obviously didn't go to church.
But then there's a garbage game, TCU at Texas Tech. But that's 4 really good games.
That is good games.
On Saturday. The DVR is going to be working overdrive.
It don't matter. We got the best one.
West Virginia, Texas should be fascinating. Texas lately... There's something missing from that team.
I don't like to use West Virginia and fascinating in the same sentence ever. I have a problem with that.
Texas has to turn it around at some point, I would think.
The problem with them is they don't have a ton of really good ball handlers. They have 2 guys, and West Virginia's pressure is – I don't know if I've ever seen pressure defense as good as
them. No, they do a nice
job. It's unbelievable.
And Staten, too, I still think, is the best player in the Big 12.
I would agree.
And Texas, my read on them from the beginning, I thought they'd be good. But I thought that they overachieved last year, and I thought they'd kind of somehow hit a median. And I think they might be doing that, but it's also early. It's January 15th.
And they're still trying to get Isaiah Taylor back into the fold after that injury.
Yeah,
well.
No, they'll be fine. I mean, they're going to be a – but I still – I mean, I had them at 4 in my preseason poll. that's looking fairly accurate right now. But I also have West Virginia back at like 6. So
West Virginia is a legitimate contender for the Big 12 title.
Absolutely they are.
They are.
With that home court advantage too.
Yeah.
That's why the win, and that's my whole point, like that win at West Virginia for Iowa State was like +2 in my opinion.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll lose there. I don't think Kansas will win at West Virginia.
Which is so shocking that they lost that game to LSU.
Yeah, but that was a freaking
fluke. That was a fluky game.
Yeah, I mean, they should have been undefeated when Iowa State beaten them.
Yep.
I think you guys are smoking crack on West Virginia. They're not going to win the Big 12.
I didn't say they're going to.
I don't think they're going to.
Nah, what's a contender means they could win it, though. I don't think they can win it.
Well, but I'm not predicting.
You don't think they can win it?
No. No.
So who can, Mark?
Just Iowa State and Kansas? Is that
That's it?
Texas.
Texas.
Oklahoma. There's your top four.
Texas better get a move on.
Iowa State, Kansas, Texas, Oklahoma. There's your top four teams in the Big 12.
But West Virginia just blitzed Oklahoma.
Yeah, but everybody's losing to everybody. It's like a mixed, you know, whatever. I don't know. But anyway, no. I think you got to look at all the teams, and you can say they beat them, et cetera. But just look at the teams, look at the talent levels, and you should be able to decipher who are the best.
West Virginia has
best
talent.
Teams. West Virginia has a great player, certainly. They do, but I was not that impressed watching them. I mean,
they got a bunch of guys that
other,
just play
other,
hard.
Other than Staten, who was impressing you greatly?
They're just
during
a
that
tough
game,
matchup. The way, like, I think Gray's putting it well.
They
I
got,
agree with Adam. The
they
way
got
they play,
depth and they can just run it at you all game.
And
long,
he's a great coach. I like them over Texas.
And you can't call
overall.
Every foul.
I don't know about on Saturday specifically in Austin, but I like them over Texas right now. You know, I like them over Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma, as I've said numerous times, I think they're going to continue to get better, though.
Yeah.
They're in a rough spot right now, but we've seen a topsy-turvy Oklahoma team all year.
Can we predict, by the way, this
they're not consistent,
again.
Though.
I don't want to let you guys get out of here without a prediction. Last time, for the record, you guys both wussed out. Didn't take Iowa State against West Virginia.
No, I did. I thought Iowa State would win at Baylor, and I thought they would lose at West Virginia.
So I'm going to let you guys redeem yourselves here and hopefully predict an Iowa State win on Saturday.
Absolutely.
By how much? Give me a point range.
I'm going to pick Iowa State by 10.
Wow. Not even close.
Okay. I think that they hit some shots, and I think that at home they're a better team than Kansas.
Gray, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Iowa State's going to lose a game at home all year. I think Iowa State wins by 8 and hopefully makes some free throws to keep you guys happy, you know?
Hey, I'm not obsessing
that would be awesome.
Over that. I'm saying Jameel McKay reminds me of Royce White. It's basically a turnover when he goes to the free throw line.
Royce had a 50-pound
Here's
run.
The thing, too, and everybody around that program, when you ask about Jameel's free throw shooting, they say it's all mental. It's pretty damn mental at this point when you're 12 of 28.
Well, check his last 5 games. I don't think he's been that bad his last 5 games, has he?
No, he's been better, like you've said. I mean, he's gotten better, but
12 of 28 is garbage, but you have to factor in there's a crowd there.
Yeah.
And
I'm telling you, I think this is something they're going to have to deal with all year.
They're either making a lot of noise if it's on the road, or almost worse, in my opinion, no noise at home, which feels awkward when a guy is totally silent in a place with 15,000 people. That feels weird, too.
Having said all of this, McKay probably playing better than anybody on the team at this point.
Both sides of the court.
Yes.
We put it all together. Yeah.
Overall. So I'm not killing the guy. I'm just saying they got to find he's got to make some free throws.
One of these days when you're up at Iowa State, the practice facility, can Gray and I join you and we have an official podcast free throw contest? We all do 20 and we figure out who the best free throw shooter is of the three of us.
Well yeah, we can do that anywhere.
We need a hoop. Yeah. But I figured they have hoops there, so whatever.
Let's do it. Let's do a 3-point shootout.
Are any of you guys good?
I used to be a decent free throw shooter. I haven't shot a basketball.
Gray see me stroke it from 3-point range.
Yeah, Chris is. You know, Chris is in a bad little shot.
I get it in a groove. As long as there's not a hand in my face. Yeah, you put a hand in my face and it's over.
So if we go up and shoot 20 free throws apiece, what would your prediction be for how many you would make right now?
Oh God,
15.
15. Out of 20. Pretty good. What do you think?
Oh, I haven't shot in a while. I was going to say 14. With no one there and just standing there with not being tired, not running beforehand, 14. If I had to run beforehand, like 6.
What about 3-pointers out of 10? How many are you going to make?
From anywhere you want?
Sure. Why not?
Man, I haven't shot probably since...
We shot.
Always got to preface it.
No, but I'm just trying to... I don't know. Like, if you give me some... Can I shoot around for a little bit before?
Sure. Yeah, I can warm up.
3 or 4, maybe 5 if I'm feeling good. 5 or 6 if I'm really feeling good.
Okay. What do you got, Gray?
4.
4?
When we did it that one time, I think we made like 7 of 10.
Yeah.
Remember that? We were shooting.
Dude, that's
good that
my
day.
Deal. I'm very, but if you put a hand in my face, it's over. I curl up in the fetal position and just take it.
All right. So we have to go. We have to go do this officially.
Heavy discharge afterwards.
We have to go do this officially and then report.
What do you make?
I'll make, what did I say for free? There's 20?
Yeah.
I'll make 15.
Yeah.
Out of 20 with some warm-ups first.
So we're all about the same.
Three-pointers, I'll go 6 for 10.
Wow.
I'll go 60%.
See, when you start predicting yourself 60%, that's just arrogance.
60%.
I mean, between you and me, I think I can make 6 of 10, but I would never predict it.
I'll predict it.
I love it.
It's like I make predictions all the time, man. People are like, so do you think my house is going to sell? Darn right it's going to sell.
Absolutely.
I'm going to sell your house.
If you don't have confidence, what do you have in this world?
Nothing.
All right. We got to go.
Yeah.
I got a meeting here in 5 minutes.
We don't care about your excuses.
Hey, Charter, thanks for coming in early for a ThoughtCast.
Gotta go close some houses today.
Go sell some homes.
I'm going to try.
Dude.
Try my
Gray, it's good in that. When I go up to interviews later today, I'll try and smooth things over with Niang.
Tell him I love him.
But big fan clearly you don't.
Nobody believes that.
I'm a big fan of George.
just bench just tell, him. He's the reason we lost.
Just tell George if he needs any tips on how to defend a low post, just to give me a call.
Give me your card, too. I'll give it to Hoiberg in case he needs some help watching film.
Tell him maybe he needs to get Doc Sadler on the phone and figure out how to guard the low post.
I'm going to go to GoDaddy.com.
Oh, so now you're throwing Charlie Henry into the bus.
No, Charlie's offensive guru, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying he replaced Sadler,
defense.
Though.
No.
So you're throwing Cornell. You're throwing corn under.
Yeah, tell Cornell I'm throwing him under.
I'm gonna buy Gray a domain name today. IHateGeorge.com. I'm gonna buy it for him so he can have it.
Serious question. Yeah.
And you probably will.
I will too.
Serious question: is the loss of 25 pounds bad for him when he's got to guard guys like Rico Gathers?
No, because it's not. It was fat that he lost.
Yeah.
It's not like he lost muscle.
No, he gained muscle.
Yeah.
No. Should have.
It didn't
I'm
hurt
sorry.
Him. It didn't hurt him.
It's easier to push 230 away than 255.
Well, you're acting like he was this great defender a year ago.
He was better.
No. All right. We got to go. Now you're starting like a whole other conversation.
Sorry.
Charter, do you want to publicize anything else here? I mean, like anything big? We're getting to the point where we're going to start buying and selling homes, though, the spring, right? That's when it heats up.
If you're thinking about
buying... You still have a cough.
I know. 3 weeks running, man. Three weeks.
My God.
If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, now is the time to be talking to somebody.
Bad.
Myself, probably, but...
Yeah, well, obviously, it's
If you love somebody else, so be it. I just shared on Facebook today I won... Well, I didn't. I hate saying I won an award. I qualified for something that said I'm one of the best agents in the country, but I'm certainly not...
Booyah.
I'm certainly not alone.
I feel bad... I keep when the intern comes in on Monday mornings, he keeps using that headset.
Does he?
He's gonna come down with like pneumonia.
I swear. So next week it'll all be gone. It's just we're on the very tail end of a cough.
Just drink some whiskey straight up on the rocks. That'll get you off the cough.
That's always your answer.
It is.
Every time I've ever been
sick.
It's great. I've worked
together. Whiskey.
So just pick up a whiskey. Yeah.
Go to markcharter.com if you need to know more. Okay, bye.
Hey, fanatics, we love you all. Thanks for listening. Well, Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show tonight, 6 to 7. Benchwarmers, Bloom's gone. Travis Hines from the Ames Tribune and Kirk Holland, the encyclopedia himself.
That place is going to be packed.
Yeah, they're wanting Holland's autograph. It's going to be...
I was going to go with Hines.
It's going to be epic. No, Hines is... Hines a little more humble. He won't do the autographs. But Kirk, I could see Kirk like in the corner autographing breasts. You know, like
signing babies.
Yeah.
For the record, I'm willing to autograph anything anybody wants. So,
as long as there's no discharge.
Yeah.
All right.
My hands will be moist as I do it.
Perfect time to end it. So long, everybody.